Great time out there. This is Big Vito LaGrasso, and I have a new show just for you. It's called The Sit Down. That's right. Mob style right here at the Big Vito brand. We have some great people on board with us for this sit down. I handpicked them. They have become made men. Virtue, why don't you do the honors and talk about the sit down, what we're about, introduce the guys, and then we'll take it from there.
Well, first of all, introductions. Of course, Big Vito LaGrasso, former WCW hardcore champion, defeated Terry Funk. Okay, Dr. Jargo, who does Men of Business with us, Virtue's Rage with me, and then Brad Shepherd, a polarizing Twitter figure, I don't know, but he's all over the wrestling news world as well, is joining us to complete this four-person panel. Gentlemen, what's up? We're going to be talking professional wrestling today, and I'm telling you what, there is a lot of stuff out there to talk about. How's everybody doing? Brad, I'm going to go right over to you because I've never done a video or a show with you. How's it going, man?
I'm fantastic. I'm not just good. I'm fantastic. I'm excited about the opportunity we have here to talk about a lot of interesting topics. So,
good having you here. And of course, Jargo, long time no see. What's up?
What's going on, man? Happy to do it. I'm always happy to sit down with Big Vito. And if you're not happy to sit down with Big Vito, then you're swimming in with the fishes, and that's not good. I can't swim that well.
You mean you're swimming with the flounders? Inside joke with Vito
inside,
and I.
Inside joke. All right, guys. Flounders aside. All right, here we go. Guys, we're going to have a sit down. I got some good topics I want to bring up, okay? It's about today's wrestling, and I couldn't think of a better group of four guys, four made men, to talk about the wrestling business. And everybody here, if everybody doesn't know, they all have a voice on Twitter. They all have their own little cliques. They all have their cult following. That's what makes this great. This isn't a one-man show. This is the team. This is the mafia, the Big Vito mafia, and we're bringing it to you. First up, guys, I don't know how smart you are to wrestling history. But for me, when I was coming up and I was going through the ranks, okay, my thing was you start out at Johnny Rods in Brooklyn. You want to get to the WWF. You want to go to Japan, get your Ribera's jacket. You want to go to Puerto Rico and wrestle for Carlos Colon. The thing I learned was that there's another side of wrestling, and that's called Memphis, Tennessee, the USWA. And the thing I learned was you have to go through Memphis to get to be a made man in the WWE. This doesn't happen no more, but a lot of the greats, a lot of the superstars went through Memphis just like I did. They started out just like I did, and they made it to the top. Now, wrestling history. I'm going to bring up a gentleman I don't know if everybody is aware of. There's a gentleman who came up in conversation. What if he would have stayed in wrestling? He was in a very serious plane crash. He was the original Hulk Hogan. His name was Austin Idol. Guys, I'm going to start off with Brad, since he's an elder statesman here. Brad, did you follow the USWA, and do you know of Austin Idol?
I sure do. Yeah, absolutely I do. Tremendous talent. And I did get to see him, fortunately, growing up.
That's good. Now, when you look at Austin Idol, did you know where the gimmick Hulk Hogan came from?
Oh, absolutely.
Hulk Hogan came to fruition.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating just in general in pro wrestling when you have those decades of experience watching how you see some of those gimmicks. They're kind of mimicked in a way, but, you know, in a more modern twist. But, yeah, absolutely.
Now, Virtue, you gave me an uh-huh, like you got something on the table. Bring it to me. What do you got?
So we're talking Lawler country, correct?
Yes,
of course. I mean, like when we had the territories, like, there was always two main ones to me, but like from my bubble, right? I know it's different. Vito, you were in the business. That was like 1A. Would you like AWA? And that was what? Minnesota?
Minnesota. Yes.
That was like, I feel like I gravitated more towards, and I know they all overlap because the territories was such a beautiful thing back in the day. And the way that it was, it just worked out because you'd leave one, you'd go to the other. the place to be from there was WWE, right? Once Vince McMahon built it up, because that's where the cash was, the fame was, the notoriety. But Vito, like, yeah, Austin Idol, that definitely is pre-Hogan. And a lot came, you know, we can kind of talk about Flair in the same way too. But why am I why do I gravitate towards AWA? Like, I can't answer that for you. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. Does that have something to do? Okay.
You grew up in Cleveland, Ohio. Brad, where'd you grow up?
I kind of am a mutt. I've been all over the place. I grew up mainly in New England.
Okay, New England. Yeah. All right. Big Vito LaGrasso, WOR TV, Channel 9. We only knew one brand of wrestling, which was the WWF on Friday nights. Jago, give me your take. Give me where you watched wrestling growing up as a kid. And give me what you thought of Austin Idol.
I also was in an AWA territory. Mm-hmm. I know who Austin Idol is. I've went back and watched a lot of his work. I didn't get to see any of it in context. And I feel like for my age demographic, you have to go back and look at the early days, because most of the Austin Idol that I saw was more like late 80s.
Okay.
By the time I was watching him in context in real time.
Now, when I was in Memphis, I had the honor and privilege of being part of the first Memphis Memories show. 13,000 plus Mid-South Coliseum, a very famous arena where a lot of great wrestling happened. Okay. And a kid from New York going through, and you say, hey, that's Jimmy Hart, and there's Kamala, and there's Dutch Mantel, and then there's Stagger Lee, there's the Dream Machine, there's Boogie Woogie Man, there's the Moondogs, there's Jerry the King Lawler, who beat everybody, right? The famous Gilbert feud with Eddie Gilbert, Doug Gilbert. You got the Fabulous Ones. You had the Rock and Roll Express, the Midnight Express, Jim Cornette. You're talking to who's who of wrestling who went through there. Skull Von Crush. The reason I bring up Skull Von Crush, because they had a Memphis Hall of Fame just recently. And a guy I wrestled with who was one of my boys, Reggie B. Fine. I don't know if anybody knows that name, but he's been he calls everybody a low budget, but a low budget icon back in the day. So him being an African American coming up down south, you can imagine the ridicule and the heat he got for some of the things he did. Me being a German, you definitely know I got some shit, right? So when the Moondogs are baby faces and you're fighting an African American and a German, you know things are on. That's what made it great. The people believed. And I think that's what's missing in wrestling. Guys, give me your take on what's missing in wrestling today.
Oh, geez.
All right. Well, I'll just kind of, on this subject, Vito, when I'm thinking of Memphis and Lawler territory, you know what I think? I think they did sports entertainment way before Vince McMahon did. Andy Kaufman, right? And was that still USWA?
It was.
Okay.
You are on point.
And I've said this before. I'm like, everybody calls WWE the land of sports entertainment. But that's all they were. Obviously, Lawler kind of – he probably didn't even know that's what it was at that point. But they still stuck to the tradition of pro wrestling as well. That might have been, you know, the perfect blend of an organization of both. That's what we need today, because there are pro wrestling fans out there. There are sports entertainment fans out there. And we have a side. We have the line in the sand drawn. I wish we could go back to Memphis, but at a bigger scale, where you could have both kinds of fans liking all the wrestling companies. And that it's divided, Vito. The fan base is divided today. Back then, you could like it. There was something for everybody, and there wasn't bitching and moaning and complaining. I don't know. That's just my take.
Jago, give me your view on this.
Authenticity. I feel like that's what's missing. When you go back and you watch the territories, the guys weren't playing characters. That's who they were. Today, with like Minoru Suzuki, I think is a great example, right? Like, I don't expect most of the American audience to be in tune with who Minoru Suzuki is, but there's enough people who are that when they pop, everybody else is like, oh, okay, this guy's kind of a big deal. But in about 3 seconds of Minoru Suzuki walking out on the stage, you knew everything that you needed to know about Minoru Suzuki because of the way that he carried himself and the person that he portrays. He is a legit badass, and you know that immediately. CM Punk is unapologetically CM Punk. That's the connection that he always had with that audience. Today, I feel like the biggest problem is things are too scripted. You have too many people that are just playing a character and going along with whatever the script may be, and people see through it because they're not trained actors. They don't buy into it. And if they don't buy into it, nobody else is going to buy into it either.
Jargo, right? you nailed it, Jargo. 1 second here. You know why? They weren't characters. They were extensions of themselves, magnified times whatever. Yep. And that's what, yes, you're absolutely right on that.
Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, I think there's a lot missing. We could do an entire episode on that would last forever. I mean, really, truly, there's things in each category, like, you know, from a TV show standpoint, what are they missing? Well, I mean, pretty much everything, right? Unpredictable moments. Not that predictable is sometimes not good, but it's a lot of monotony and the same thing over and over and lazy booking. So in other words, you get a lot of matches filling 3 hours on Raw versus characters and angles and something out of the ring, because it's easy just to say these two guys are going to go out here for 15 minutes for this segment and have a match. And that's what I'm going to write. And it's very easy to do that rather than script something backstage or something that's a little different. So from a TV show perspective, there's a lot missing. From a creative perspective, they have way too many writers. They need to just minimize that team to it, just a few people. And so there's just a lot to the process, I think, of WWE that needs to be fixed. But certainly the talent today are too small. They're not believable. You know, I just, the wrestling style is dangerous unnecessarily, and it's not over with an audience outside of the mainstream, outside of, you know, I mean, the people that watch every week. Okay. So
now you made a good point. And I don't want you to really give away the whole secret of your sauce, right? But this is why we are here at the sit down, right? Because one of my guys actually talked about the next subject, Japanese wrestling, okay? I have been in the ring with some of the greatest Japanese wrestlers of all time. I wrestled Fujinami. I tagged with Tenryu. I wrestled Misawa. I wrestled with Kobashi, Amore, Giant Baba, the great Muda, probably the greatest Japanese wrestler of all time. Why hasn't the Japanese wrestling, which is so over in Japan, why hasn't that transcended into prime time wrestling here in the States? Jargo, all right. You're a Japanese guy. Go ahead.
I do host Destino, a New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast. You can find that over at destinopod.com. It's not due to lack of trying, right? I mean, New Japan has been trying to expand into the American market for a while. I think the biggest thing is, number one, the language barrier, right?
Yep.
I mean,
boom.
The English commentary is still a fairly new thing to the Japanese audience. It's not the most accessible. They don't have a nice, clean, streamlined app because streaming isn't really a thing in Japan like it is here in the States. But as far as the style goes, it's interesting because AEW would not exist without New Japan Pro Wrestling. I mean, that just seems like a simple fact to me. At this point, they are very much doing the New Japan style of professional wrestling. And when they say a sports-like presentation, well, it's not really, but New Japan is. And just the way that New Japan presents things. You don't see somebody standing in a ring for 15 minutes cutting a promo. They cut their promo backstage on a backdrop in an interview segment with the media, like, you know, a real sport. I think it's just a taste in the presentation. You could ask the same question about Lucha Libre with the pageantry. How come that's never gotten over in the United States? I think it's just the cultural barrier.
Okay.
Brad? I agree with Jargo on that one.
Brad, Virtue, go ahead. It's the sit down. Go ahead. You got to make your bones.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for me, the biggest thing they're missing is episodic TV. And until they have that, they will never pick up in any significant way in the United States.
Well,
so they've got to have weekly episodic TV.
Can I counter that for a second? Sure. Major League Baseball. Do you watch all 162 games of your favorite team? That's the way New Japan kind of presents things. It's just like a baseball schedule where they just go. They run. It's not uncommon for New Japan to run four or five shows a week.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, the U.S. audience is not conditioned to that, though, which is the problem. They're conditioned to a weekly episodic TV show, whether it's Dynamite or Raw, SmackDown, etc. So it would be a reconditioning of the audience for that. In New Japan, you know, in Japan, they cover it as a shoot, right? I mean, so it's a cultural difference, obviously, as well. But to make it in the United States, they're going to have to adapt to that format of weekly episodic TV to get any significant momentum, I believe.
Vito. They never, Vince McMahon and Bischoff, they brought tastes of it over into their product, but they never like fully pushed it, right? Because of the language barrier, this or that. Those were the biggest platforms. To if you want Japanese wrestling to spread across the United States to get something bigger, you need the platform. You need something behind it that has that reach. Maybe, I don't know. I've been critical on Tony Khan. But he's the billionaire. He's got that big TV deal with TNT. Maybe this is its best chance now because he might be willing. I mean, we got Suzuki on Dynamite now, right, Jargo? I think that's what's why it hasn't caught on. I remember growing up in the 90s and my uncle had that huge satellite dish outside. We somehow picked up something. I don't know if – I'm sure it wasn't live events. I don't know how they did events back then, Jargo. But I picked up – I saw some – Owen Hart, I don't know if he was in the mask. Was it? Did he do Tiger Mask? What did Owen Hart do?
Blue Blazer.
Did he wrestle?
Blue
Blazer. He did a couple things in Japan. I think it was against Jushin Thunder Liger. And I was like, what's this? Right? I just thought it was something else that, like, you know, we had WCW, NWA, ECW. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that it was a whole nother culture of wrestling back then. Now, as an adult with the internet, I do. But looking back on it, none of the big promotions put them up there to make it that recognizable. They teased it. We got a little bit of here, a little bit of there, but it always got pulled back into the American wrestling. And I think, Vito, that's why Japanese wrestling has always been third or fourth over here, right? Never any higher.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's take this a step further. And we went from old school Memphis to Japanese wrestling. Let's take it one step further and let's go into what makes an American wrestler believable. Now, would you gentlemen prefer the big 300-pound massive human being a wrestler, or do you prefer the smaller AEW style that we have today? Being that I wrestled in both, personally being a bigger person and then shrinking down to 205, my take is I would rather be in there with the big guys that look impressive. When you talk about Goldberg and Steiner and Sting and Hogan and Warrior and Bret Hart, the Legion of Doom, the Warlord, I know I'm just giving some names, but as a kid walking into WWF in 1991 and being like, holy shit, I better get on the gas.
Get those Morocco shoulders.
Morocco shoulders. We were just talking about that. Whose shoulders did you want more than anybody? You wanted Don Morocco shoulders.
Yeah.
You were never going to get Ultimate Warrior look, but you just say, damn, I'm freaking eating, drinking all these protein shakes. Ain't shit happening. So, guys, what do you prefer? Who wants to lead it off? Somebody raise the
ball. All right. Okay. So,
go ahead.
It's the bigger dudes. Like, nothing against CM Punk. I get it. You know, if you have a good mouth, I'll buy into you. But like when I'm watching your matches, I believe you against guys your size or smaller. I'm not going to believe you. I mean, yes, there's always an underdog once in a great while. Like, we'll throw Daniel Bryan's name out there. But I want to see men competing. And if they're not the biggest guys in the world, be damn good at your craft like Bret Hart, okay? Ric Flair. Look at Austin, right? He was a big guy, but there were bigger guys. But what was Austin? He had the big personality. It was Steve Austin times Steve Williams times 100, right? And that's what made that work. These wrestlers today that are smaller, they just want to get in there and do their shit. So, yes, I prefer who do I push on Twitter all the time, Vito? Roman Reigns. And it took him a while to get there, you know, because the script, right? Maybe he got pushed a little early in his career and he was still green. But he's dominating wrestling now. And we're not comparing this era to before. Right. But in this bubble of modern day wrestling, and yes, he's on Fox, he's in WWE, so that helps, but he's dominating wrestling. And there's a reason for it, too. Casual fans, girls like his look. Maybe some guys like his look. The kids look up to him as a superhero, even though he's a bad guy now. He looks bad ass. And that's my go to. And you can throw like Brock Lesnar in there, too. John Cena, right? He's still, the kids and women love him. Brad, you raised your hand earlier. You're agreeing with me on this. Not necessarily who you like, but the bigger
things. 1,000%.
Yeah.
The problem is not having a Daniel Bryan. The problem is having fucking 50 Daniel Bryans. That's wrestling today. 100. That's the problem, right? So, yes, I want people that are believable. And there's different aspects to believable. Some of it is size. Some of it is, you know, the facials and intensity and cutting a promo that makes me get emotionally invested. But it all starts in the end with the physical person. And I'm not going to believe that Adam Cole can whip me in a fight or even, you know, three quarters of the audience. So watching this match and trying to believe in the moment is very difficult when I'm watching a guy who I was literally bigger than in middle school.
Yeah. You know what it is, Brad? It's like you watch a match and we know it's work, but we want to suspend our disbelief and we want to think it could be real. And so a lot of wrestling fans today that like the smaller guys, maybe they know it's scripted, but they're trying to believe like, hey, that's me. If somebody that size could do it, so could I. Definitely. And I'm not making fun of fans or whatever, but like, I want to watch like Brock and Roman. Like that was electric in Madison Square Garden on Friday night. I'm sorry. Call me a Mark, whatever. But dude,
I love a Haas fight.
Yeah. Jargo.
I find it greatly irrelevant because uh-oh. I enjoy the art that is professional wrestling. Somebody like Adam Cole, all right, a perfect example. You put him in a ring with Roman Reigns. No, I don't buy it. I don't buy that Adam Cole is going to whip Roman Reigns' ass in a fight. You put him in the ring with Kenny Omega. Yeah. I can buy that. It's all about context. It's all about the narrative that you establish. If WWE wants to be the land of the giants, then so be it. Let it be the land of the giants. If AEW wants to be the land of vanilla midgets who go out there and work a New Japan style, fine, more power to them. I've always been drawn to the cruiserweight style, to the junior heavyweight style. The 1994 Super J Cup is the greatest moment in professional wrestling, as far as I am concerned, with Jushin Thunder Liger going over. I just prefer that style. You take somebody like Kazuchika Okada. Kazuchika Okada might very well be the greatest professional wrestler walking on the face of the earth today. You put him in a ring with Roman Reigns, and he is going to be dwarfed. It's all about the context that you present Kazuchika Okada.
Or you put him in TNA, he's going to be the Green Hornet.
Yeah, well, you know, our buddy right. Vince Russo.
But no, that's good.
Oh my God.
Brad and I are on the bigger dudes, right? Because that's our context. Jargo's context is, you know, New Japan or it's like, you know, the believability of who you're wrestling. Like you just said, Adam Cole versus Omega. Vito, you wrestled. But you still have to have an opinion here. What's yours?
Big guys. And the reason we have, you made a point of saying Roman Reigns is a mega star. Did you guys ever look at who's in his way? There's nobody in his way. There's no Flairs. There's no Hogan's. There's no Macho Man's. There's no Nash. There's no Sullivan. There's no blah, blah, blah. There's nobody there. And when guys get the opportunity, they don't hold on. This is going to bring me up to my last topic and my last question. Guys, will we ever have in our generation a Bruno Sammartino champion for 10 or more years?
Who wants to start on that one?
Absolutely not. Yeah, no. There's just no way. I mean, we're in an ADD society too, Vito. So I think that's part of it is it reflects society. Can you imagine, like, people are bitching online about a 3-month feud? Oh, God, it's Sheamus and whatever the fuck again. Okay, could you imagine a 10-year championship run today's smart audience? Absolutely.
Well, dude, Roman's going to be the longest in a long time if they do according to what might be planned for him. And that's nowhere. Like, that's like, what, one and a half years, two tops versus 10 or however long Bruno had it?
Well, I mean, Okada was on top in New Japan for 720 days. I think that's the longest run that anybody can think of. Maybe Walters. Yeah. And I guess Walters would actually be a bit more comparable to Bruno. And I say that in the context that Bruno wasn't working like 260 days a year on TV and the house shows to where people were just getting sick of it because they were just burning through the roster. Like Bruno could have a feud and a year might be 5 or 6 matches. Whereas now we're burning that in a month on national television because we have 7 hours of content to fill.
But one thing you guys are missing is, nobody sells out houses like Bruno Sammartino.
Nobody has to, though. That's the problem. Nobody has to because 65% of their revenue is coming from TV. So they're not
talking about. We're not talking about revenue. We're not talking about revenue. We're talking about who's the draw.
They're not making stars. They're making a full ensemble cast. They're not making a Bruno Sammartino. They're not making a John Cena. They're not making a Hulk Hogan.
That's why I asked the question, and you're not supposed to get mad at the host.
Oh, I'm not mad.
Oh, I like it. Keep going.
No,
My point was, I know that we will never see it, right? And I understand the concept that the business has grown to be a social media, contract-laden entertainment business, and none of us really like it. We have to accept it. But I just think that for preference-wise, what everybody grew up with, now we covered where it came from to the middle, to the almost end, and to the present. The present looks like it's going to be a 50-50 crapshoot. Yeah. I'm going to end it on that, guys. This was a great edition of the sit-down. You all did a great job. You all have good minds. Everybody's got intellectual thoughts. That's why I like you guys. That's why you're on the A-team. You know, on this show with the Big Vito brand, everybody gets to be a star. There's no overshadowing. And somebody in the chat says, wow, I can't believe Vito's sitting there listening because I'm gaining knowledge from these guys because you know what? These guys watch it a lot more and they're in the hip to what's going on now. Jago has his niche, Brad Shepard has his, and Virtue has his. And me being that I wrestled and came up through the ranks, I know what it takes and I know what the business is about. But to hear everybody else's point of view is awesome. Guys, thank you very much. People out there, I hope you enjoyed the show. And if Virtue would do the honors, please go around the sit down and close the show.
Brad, you got any plugs, anything you want to say before we close up?
If you have the balls, follow me on Twitter at It's Brad Shepard. I'm a little spicy sometimes, you know that. Shepard. And you can, of course, follow my work at airportappeal.substack.com.
All right, cool. Thanks for being on. I think I got to follow you on Twitter. I don't know why. It's not that I hate you or anything, but I just get so, Jargo knows, I get so entrenched in my Twitter sometimes I miss out on some things. Jargo.
I've sworn off Facebook, and I never used Instagram to begin with. So you can follow me on Twitter at NotJargo. I'm over there a lot more now because I got to try to keep Virtue in line. It's I think like 50% of my Twitter feed is just me responding to Virtue.
It sets up our Virtue's range. And of course, you can follow Vito on Twitter as well at the Big Vito Brand. I know there's all kinds of changes. What's this new stuff, Vito? Big Vito Mafia. What's the actual website? Is it still the BigVitoBrand.com, yes, or are you changing that?
Hold on a second. I'm going to wait from the voice of beyond to go in the chat I can read it. Oh,
now,
my God.
Because I think the Patreon is patreon.com/BigVMafia now.
Yeah.
Hold on. I have a vision. This just came in. Also, social media.
That was the Patreon. I was correct.
Brand. And patreon.com/BigVMafia.
Cool. And of course, you can follow me on Twitter if you dare at @NoDQ_Virtue. Vito, go ahead and close it up. I am done. We are done. Great show. Can't wait to do it again.
Guys, this was a great thing, a great concept. I was so happy to put this together. I got my guys here. They're all made. They're all superstars. And we're going to bring you the best of our knowledge every week. This is the Big Vito Mafia signing off. You know, peace out. Same bat time, same bat channel. Everybody, throw up your best peace sign.
You knew I was going to do this one.
Oh, shut up. All right.